talk some baseball. We are joined right now by somebody who represents the MLB Network, NHL Network, friend of the program. MLB Network is going to feature the Cardinals at the Nationals tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, plus the Dodgers and the Mariners tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern. You can watch my next guest contribute to MLB Network studio programming throughout the entire week. John Morosi is back. Great to have you, John. How are you?
Jim, I am outstanding, my friend. Hope you had a great weekend. And when I hear you opening the Monday show with baseball off the top, my friend, I am excited, especially in April. And that is a great sign. I think it has something to do with that SoCal rivalry going on right now.
It's got something to do with that, John, and you know exactly where I'm going with it. You can read my mind perfectly. Man, I was so fired up. If we go back to Friday, John, I was really excited for that series. Now that we have seen the series, in your opinion, how great was that? And then what does that tell you about the battle between these two teams that we can expect over the course of the season?
A great weekend for baseball. That's the headline for me, Jim, because it lived up to the billing, to the hype. But we had three great games that were in doubt late. The signature Mookie Betts catch. You had the Clayton Kershaw RBI. You had David Price with the key RBI. And then, of course, the Padres answering yesterday with a game they had to have. Now, it's hard to say a must-win in April, but this is going to be a rivalry we watch unfold during the season, and it would have been certainly not a great look at all for the Padres to be swept on their home field in April by the reigning World Series champion. So yesterday was a very important statement by the Padres. We know Tatis is not yet fully himself, but Machado and Hosmer delivered big for the Padres. Jim, overall, so many great storylines. And the thing I love about this rivalry, and what you said earlier in the show, is exactly right. This is the best thing going in baseball right now. And what's making it special is the characters involved. We know these players. You may have strong opinions about them. You may like them. You may not like them, depending on where you're at around the country. But we have characters with stories that we know, and I think that's giving this rivalry a great texture for us to follow during the course of this season.
Extremely well said. John Morosi is joining us. I agree with you, John. Like, normally it would seem absurd to call a game in April a must-win game, but I think the Padres had to have that game, and they get it. You know, you also pointed out, John, on Twitter that through four starts this season, Clayton Kershaw's ERA is 2.19, his second-best ERA at the point, this point, in this season over the last 5 years. For a while now, people have been looking to bury him and saying that his best baseball is behind him. How does he look to you so far this year?
Very good, Jim. His fastball is lively. It is up in the zone. It's moving. The breaking stuff is sharp again. I think, Jim, as we look back over the last couple of years, and certainly Clayton spent some time on the injured list going back the last several years at various points, and then I believe that he was the beneficiary of a lighter workload last year. Certainly he would have loved to have a full seven-month season. We all realize that everybody wanted that. But at the end of the day, he has pitched a lot of innings, Jim, and a lot of them have been high-stress innings. A lot in October, a lot of times when he was out there during previous incarnations of the Dodgers when they didn't have quite the same level of supporting cast, when he had to be the workhorse late in the season. That's not the way it is anymore. They can take him out an inning early when they have to and really manage his innings really, really effectively. So I think we're seeing the benefit now of some great management by Dave Roberts in the past, and Dave Roberts and the adjustments that Mark Pryor has helped Clayton make, overall, the very good game planning they have, Jim. We're seeing the best version of Clayton that we've seen in a while. And as you mentioned, this is now one of the best starts he has gotten off to in the last half dozen years. A very good sign for the Dodgers right now early on in the season.
John Morosi is joining us. John, one more thought about the Dodgers before we move on. If anybody was expecting them to have a World Series hangover, they fire out 13-3. They've got a plus 38 run differential. What do you make of their start so far to the season?
Well, Jim, I'm glad you asked it that way because we should make sure that we point out they have a former MVP in Cody Bellinger on the injured list right now.
Right.
They also lost Jock Peterson and Kike Hernandez, two of the mainstays of the lineup for recent years. And so what happens? They take Zach McKinstry, a 33rd-round draft pick from Central Michigan University here in the great state of Michigan, and they make him into a consistent everyday player through some great player development. They've got a phenomenal player development director in Will Rimes. That is how you become a dynasty in modern baseball. You can spend money like the Dodgers spend, but then you can develop players the way the Rays develop players. And all of a sudden you're missing Bellinger and you plug McKinstry in. Look how well he's playing. And I also want to point out, to talk about how Mookie Betts continues to amaze us, remember that game-saving catch he made the other night, that's playing his second position. He was playing center field. He's playing there because Bellinger's out. And that just speaks to the versatility of this team. They're off to such a great start. And the final point that I'll make too, Jim, is that they've brought in some players who haven't won yet. Trevor Bauer hasn't won yet. You're changing out a few key pieces. You bring in Corey Knebel in the bullpen. You bring in Jimmy Nelson in the bullpen. They've got four different relievers already have recorded saves, Jim. It is just about impossible to find a glaring weakness on the Dodgers roster right now.
John Morosi back in the jungle, and they will run it back starting Thursday with a four-game set. So, John, what about the other end of the spectrum? You've got the Yankees. They've lost five in a row. They've got the worst record in the American League. Exactly what is happening to them right now? Is it a bad start, or are there legitimate causes for concern?
It's a great question, Jim. I think it's a combination of both. And actually, as we speak right now, Brian Cashman is meeting with the media in New York. It doesn't sound like there's any announcement, any sort of shakeup, but this is what a GM in New York should do. When the team's playing poorly, be out front, be accountable, explain what's going on. One thing I've noticed, and the metrics back this up, Fangraphs.com has them as the worst team in the American League East at hitting fastballs. And so if you're getting overwhelmed by fastballs and not producing, and your rotation isn't quite lined up either, you're going to have a challenging season. And the thing that I think makes me the most concerned right now, Jim, is the AL East is a pretty mediocre version of itself. The Jays don't have Springer or Teoscar Hernandez. The Red Sox are getting by with really a creative roster and some good managing early this season by Alex Cora, but that's not a great Red Sox team. The Rays are off to a ho-hum start, too, and yet the Yankees can't take advantage. And that's what makes me concerned. The overall depth of the club, we just talked about Zach McKinstry and names like Rayleigh with the Dodgers and how good they are with some young players. The Yankees don't quite have that same level of depth. They've had some injury issues and some age showing up, and they have not been able to infuse that young depth to support them. And, Jim, I will say this. Older rosters like the Yankees have, you don't necessarily see a ton of growth in them in a positive way as the year goes along. Older roster not performing well in April is usually a very bad combination.
John Morosi breaking down the American League East completely. I can't even follow any of that. You answered all my questions. John, what about Ronald Acuna Jr. leaving yesterday's game due to an abdominal issue? What have you heard about that? How concerning is that?
It's concerning because he's one of the best players in the game. And the Braves hope to have more information on this, Jim, as the day goes along for some additional testing. But before the weekend started, I was just getting ready to say, oh my gosh, Acuna has arrived. There was so much buzz about Tatis and Soto in spring training. And I really think Acuna heard all that and said, okay, I'll show you guys just how good I am and stake his claim to being the MVP in the National League this year, and now comes this injury. So it looks like he could miss some time. Again, it's not clear yet just how much. But the Braves are one more team that's had a bit of a difficult start, certainly a better performance last night there on Sunday evening. But this is a team in Atlanta that, much like the Yankees, has underwhelmed early. And if you take one of the best players in the game out of their lineup for a period of time, a team like the New York Mets could surprise. The Philadelphia Phillies have been better than expected. That National League East, Jim, I believe, is the best top to bottom in all of baseball, and the Braves can ill afford to be without someone as important as Acuna early this season.
John Morosi joining us. John, before you go, I cannot let you go without asking you about my guy. I'm supposed to be objective here, but I'm not. Not when it comes to Shane Bieber. He struck out 13, his fourth straight start with at least 11 strikeouts. The first pitcher in history to start the season with at least 10 strikeouts and four straight starts. He's coming off a Cy Young Award season. Could you make the argument that he's even better now than he was then?
He is indeed, Jim. The pride of Laguna Hills High School and UC Santa Barbara, of course, Shane Bieber. He's someone who we look to a lot and say, his ability to continue adapting, as you point out, and register these strikeouts, Bieber, in a lot of ways, is keeping the Indians in the playoff conversation this season because we've talked a lot about Lindor moving on. They've traded Kluber. They've traded Clevinger. They traded Bauer in the last couple of years. They have the youngest rotation in all of baseball. even after the success they've had, and Bieber is still what I would call a young veteran. He's continuing to get better, continuing to innovate, which is why in a very surprising AL Central where the Royals are playing very well, do not count the Indians out yet. Shane Bieber is the best pitcher in the American League. DeGrom maybe in the NL. It'd be a great debate to have Bieber versus DeGrom, but I might give the edge to Bieber. He's doing it in the American League and continuing to innovate and get even better day.
John, really quickly, can you kind of give me your thoughts on this or explain this? We're talking about a guy, and I've talked to Bieber about this. I've talked to his college coach, Andrew Checkitz, about this. How do you explain a guy walking on in college, getting this good, this dominant, this quickly, the trajectory, his evolution? How do you explain that in a guy like that?
Well, that's a great question because it's a very rare thing. We saw actually Alec Mills throw a no-hitter last year. He was a walk-on at Tennessee Martin.
Right.
Baseball, Jim, is not a linear sport, and I think that's the key thing. Sometimes, and this is where the analytics and the newfound aspect of the game and really identifying and scrutinizing your delivery, when you have those one or two little tweaks that change an arm angle here or there, change a spin on your ball here or there, it can transform a pitcher from being an ordinary one into an extraordinary one. And right now, Shane Bieber is as good as it gets in all of baseball.
Let me remind you all, MLB Network is going to feature the Cards and Nationals tonight. That's 7 p.m. Eastern time, plus the Dodgers and the Mariners tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern. You can watch John contribute to MLB Network studio programming throughout the entire week. Nobody better, John Morosi. John, I appreciate you. What a great hit, as always. Nice to have you back. Have a great week. I know we'll do it again soon.
Jim, you are the best in the business, my friend. Always look forward to our conversations, and thanks for the call again today. Really appreciate it.
You too, John. Thanks for making time for it. You are the best in the business, too. Nobody like him. Nobody as versatile as him, and you're not going to find a sharper guy. John Morosi. All right, so that's hour number one. Padres, Dodgers, it is a rivalry. As much as the Dodgers will have you believe it's not, and I know why they're saying it's not, not only is it a rivalry, it is the rivalry. It is the best thing in all of baseball. Great weekend. The Padres had to get that third game, and they're going to run it right back on Thursday. 4-game set at Dodger Stadium.